I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. September is National Suicide Prevention Month. For the past 20 years, rates of suicide have increased in nearly every state in the U.S., including here in Kentucky, where it's now the 11th leading cause of death. When it comes to suicide, which segment of our population, urban or rural, is more at risk? That's a question two faculty members in the UK College of Public Health are working to find an answer. You'll meet one of them coming up in this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Greg recently spoke with Dr. Kathy Harp, Assistant Professor in Health, Management, and Policy for the College of Public Health. She and colleague Dr. Tyrone Borders are utilizing data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health to look at trends of suicidal ideation, planning, and attempts in both rural and urban populations and the differences between the two.
For this sort of project, we were interested in suicide more generally, knowing that rates of suicide in rural areas have been increasing in the past decade or so. And so obviously by the time you get to actual suicide, leading up to that are things like suicidal ideation, suicidal plans or making a plan, and then actually attempting. And so by suicidal ideation, we mean thoughts of committing suicide or thoughts of harming yourself. And so for this project, people were asked, you know, have you had thoughts of suicide in the past year, and then we also went to ask them about planning and also attempts.
Mm-hmm. And I would think, in general, depending on how one defines suicidal ideation, that many, many people who would not harm themselves at any point in their lives have still yet at some point, because of circumstances or situations, have maybe had such thoughts.
Absolutely. And so this particular data came from a nationally representative study called the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. And so they asked specifically about having these thoughts in the past year, but knowing that sort of if you think about a pathway, an escalating pathway to suicide, if we can intervene when those ideas are taking place, that's probably the greatest hope for actually reducing mm-hmm. rates of suicide.
So this study would sort of have, to put it in one way, not only an academic interest, but actually in real time getting some people the help that they need.
Absolutely. And that's why we were really interested, particularly in these non-metropolitan or rural areas specifically, knowing again that the rates of suicide are increasing there, and finding that indeed rates of also suicidal ideation and planning and attempts are higher in those rural areas that have really limited resources to address some of these larger issues.
We hear often from NPR and other news sources about lack of opportunity in some parts of rural eastern Kentucky and Appalachia. And of course, the opioid epidemic has hit very hard in that region. Are these factors that also are at play in that higher rate that you're speaking about?
Yes. So individuals who have substance use disorders and or mental health problems are also at a higher risk of suicide. And so the lack of resources in some rural areas touches on all of those: the lack of mental health resources, the lack of substance abuse treatment options. And then I think also the issue of stigma is very important in the discussion of suicide. And that can be challenging in small areas where people know each other. Mm-hmm. It's much different than in a more urban or metropolitan context. So it can be more difficult to seek help.
And when you speak of stigma, not only stigma of having suicidal thoughts, but just of seeking help in any way.
Yes, yes.
I think that's something we wrestle with in just about every area, is overcoming the stigma of thinking that somehow you're not supposed to seek help for emotional or mental issues.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, can occur everywhere to a level. And I think that there have been a lot of efforts to work to reduce stigma and encourage help seeking. But there are still, you know, it still exists. And it's an important barrier. Obviously, people first need access to resources, but they also, you know, would benefit from not feeling stigmatized about accessing or utilizing those resources.
One of the things we've talked about on the show before is it is a sign of strength to ask for help, to know when you need help. And our listeners can't see it, but one of the first things you see when you walk into my office is a bumper sticker on my filing cabinet that says it takes courage and strength to ask for help. And do you think we're making any headway in getting that word out, letting people in the wider community know that?
I think there have been some really positive shifts, especially I think with the younger generations being more proactive about talking about mental health problems and talking about resources, accessing resources. So I do think that we're making progress. However, I think there's a long way to go. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Kathy, is there anything else that we've not touched upon regarding the study and your work that you'd want our listeners to know about?
So just one thing to mention is that there have been a number of evidence-based suicide prevention strategies that have been promoted by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, but almost none of these have actually been tested or delivered in a rural population. And so there also is need for testing those interventions there, but also adapting them so that they can also be effective for individuals in rural communities.
Mm-hmm. My thanks today to Dr. Kathy Harp of the UK College of Public Health for talking with me about a study that she's involved in looking at suicidal ideation, planning, and attempts, and ways that study can help us all. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org. And for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.